Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. I got one thing to say, Kyle. Well, hopefully more than that because we got 2 hours to fill. But don't let the Bears get hot. One win. Felt good. Hey, this winning thing, I enjoyed it. You know, we should try to do it more often. And
even if it doesn't involve scoring a touchdown.
You know, that part of it wasn't as fun. And I do want to talk more about that. But Matt Eberflus in the middle of his second season with the Bears, his first divisional win. Welcome to the NFC North, Matt Eberflus. I don't know if you're sticking around much beyond this in terms of getting more of those. I'd love to beat the Packers in week 18. Is that what it is? Do we play 18 weeks now?
Last week.
Week 18 in Green Bay, and the Packers now, as ugly as this NFC is, still in contention to make a playoff berth. So I'd love to play spoiler there. I, of course, have made it known that I am Team Justin Fields and want to continue to see his progress throughout the rest of this season. And there's a lot of differing opinions in terms of how much the Bears should be or shouldn't be committed to him long term. I understand that regardless of where you sit on that, the last handful of games, the last month plus of the season will have something to say about the final evaluation and probably the temperature that Ryan Poles is going to take on that. So I say all of that to then come back to a little bit in jest. I mean, it was a 12-10 Monday Night Football game that was brutally ugly. The Bears got four interceptions off of Joshua Dobbs, but only turned that into like 3 points. And the nation was welcome to Chicago Bears / Big Ten West football, and everyone else probably wanted to puke, but for people like me, and obviously you've seen enough Bears football and a lot of Big Ten West football, that a lot of people in this area are like, yeah, that's pretty much what we get a lot of the year, and it's not pretty and it's not great football, but hey, I'll take a win.
On the Justin Fields point, though, I saw some of your tweets that you fired off last night. I did want to hear. Yeah, I thought you were going to get to it, but thoughts on the Chicago Bears play calling last night? Were you upset that they didn't go to their 20th screen on the last drive? Or
yeah, I thought they abandoned it too early. I think that when you call 19 of them, I felt like that last drive, they wouldn't have been seeing another one coming. You noticed that the Vikings backed off of their blitzing, which that was really the counter, I guess, that Luke gets. He was like, oh, yeah, they're going to blitz. They blitz as much as anyone in the league. We're just going to screen them to death. That was atrocious. That was high school football play calling. Luke Getsy stinks. He had never called plays in the NFL before being hired as the offensive coordinator. And this is one of my huge sticking points with the Chicago Bears, is that you bring in Matt Eberflus as a first-time head coach. You know, you go defensive-minded. That was not my preference. I'm not saying there aren't good defensive-minded head coaches out there. One is Sean McDermott with the Bills, and Bill Belichick for a long time, obviously. There's others out there that have had success, Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh. But I would also then offer up, okay, if you're not going to have your top guy, your highest-paid coaching employee, then to pair with your head coach or to pair with your quarterback, which is the biggest investment, the biggest asset you have in your franchise, you better get the offensive coordinator right. And I don't know why that then they said, all right, we'll get a first-time play caller. Yes, he was in the room, in the building with Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. He was there in Green Bay and trying to pull some of that, whatever magic they've got working there in that building where they've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks over a 30-year span. I get that part of the rationale, but him now having a 2-year sample size with the Bears, it's very obvious that he's out of his league as a play caller for this offense in particular. I don't think he's utilized Justin Fields' strength all that well. He is limited. I think the whole operation is limited offensively, more so last year before you got DJ Moore. I didn't want to talk about that, but because of just the personnel offensively, but Luke Getsy's not helping the matter. And that was just small time play calling, lack of aggression, too much predictability, short throws at the line of scrimmage, the first two downs, and you'd be third and long, and you gotta drop back and make a longer down the field pass, or really didn't do that a whole lot. It was more throwing to the sticks against the blitz. And that was infuriating. I've been mad at Luke Getsy all season long. I cannot wait for him to be fired. I think that the Bears need to be they need to learn that, hey, you're allowed to fire coaches in the middle of the season. We talked about this off the air yesterday. Matt Canada's been fired. You've got McDaniels has been fired out there in Vegas.
Frank Reich just got fired.
Yeah.
Because Bryce Young has not played well, and so they're going to give him a different look and show that they're confident in their quarterback by bringing a new face in there on the offensive side of the ball. It's a concept that seems to be foreign in Chicago, huh?
I'm not, yeah, I guess so. Well, they're stuck in the what we've done forever, and I hear that even on the Cardinals side. Well, the Cardinals aren't going to sign Shohei Ohtani, Yoshi Yamamoto, or insert name here, because they've never been ones to give out those big free agent contracts. Well, why does that have to be what you do for the rest of eternity? I don't get that. So if the Bears say, we've never fired anyone in season, so we're going to continue to do that, I don't understand. Now, is that going to make Justin Fields' situation better if they fire him? I don't know who then would be next up in terms of play calling. Would you pull a Jeff Saturday situation? So we say, hey, Jay Cutler, you know, you were good for us. Come on down and call plays for Justin Fields for a month, and let's see what that looks like. I don't know. But what I do know is, number one, DJ Moore is really, really good. I loved the rocket that Fields threw over the middle, that post route to put them in field goal position at the very, very end. That shows his arm talent. Yes, it was only one throw. Yes, he missed other throws beyond, I think,
he had
just
the fumble issues last night is what really looked like it was going to hurt him.
Yeah, he did. And it was a situation where the one where he's trying to run for a first down, it was third down. I guess in your mind, you number one, you never want a turnover. And maybe you could have thought, all right, if I go down here, fourth and short, we can go for it on fourth down. But that second one he had was just him trying to make a play. And I understand it in one sense, but you do got to be smart. And the other one, he pretty much ran into some pressure that then he's loose with the ball and fumbles it there. But all in all, I've been encouraged by Justin Fields. I know, again, it was ugly last night, but I thought he played pretty darn well against the Lions. I thought he had moments last night. He runs for 60 yards on the ground. He makes the big throw late. It's not sexy in terms of the stat line. And I think that people are still going to point back to his overall statistics, his overall record, as an argument for him not being the guy of the future. But I say just give him a chance, because the OC right now is not giving him much of a chance. I still think you can get more in terms of the offensive line. Give him another receiver that he trusts. Right now it's DJ Moore. He likes to check down or throw over the middle to Cole Kmet. I thought Darnell Mooney maybe was going to have a situation where he'd have a better season this year. That has not been the case. So can you get him another legit one number two receiver to go with Moore? Hey, Marvin Harrison Jr. sounds pretty good. And I'd like to see that for another year with Justin Fields. That's my opinion. But I had this thought too, Kyle, and I'll throw it back to you. With what DJ Moore showed last night, I mean, the Bears have not been, obviously, spoiled with quarterback play, and hand-in-hand with that, there have not been a lot of electric wide receivers. In my lifetime, Brandon Marshall, pretty darn good. Alshon Jeffrey had his moments. Mohsin Muhammad on that Super Bowl team was probably past his prime. You know, Jake Delhomme, Steve Smith, and Moose there to go to the Super Bowl against the Patriots. But on the whole, it hasn't been a lot of top-notch wide receiver play. DJ Moore is obviously very speedy, make plays in space. Thank you to Lovie Smith. Thank you. I tip my cap to you, good sir. And we've had a lot of negative things to say about you on these airwaves through the years. A lot of it deserved. But I had the thought last night, and this really coincides with some of the news breaking today, Kyle, as far as Johnny Newton. Lovie Smith has done some good things. He left some parting gifts for those that are Illinois, especially Illinois and Bears fans, to get the win last year in a non-consequential for them. I mean, it was very consequential for the Bears. For them to win in the last week of the season last year to get the Bears to the number one pick instead of the number two, that made a huge difference to then get DJ Moore in a trade. And that will segue also, Kyle, to on the Illini football side, Johnny Newton named Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. That's, of course, a Lovie Smith recruit, as is Keith Randolph, Isaiah Williams, Devin Witherspoon, Sidney Brown, Chase Brown, on down the line. The core of last year's team that won eight games, outside of Tommy DeVito, that was the one thing that Brett Bielema was able to crack that Lovie Smith never did in terms of a quarterback that was of quality and above average in the Big Ten. I think that Lovey deserves some applause and thanks. Doesn't mean you have to apologize for what you said in the past, because everything you said prior to it can be true. But I just say thank you to Lovey Smith.
Yeah, you know,
and it's hard for me to say that, but I just think it's hard. I think it's due.
When you think about, especially in the Illinois football context, obviously the Bears thing is funny and all that he won that game. I still can't believe that. I'm trying to remember exactly how that went down. They completed like a fourth down 50-yard bomb to the end zone, yes, or something to win that. Like
against the Colts, right?
Against the Colts. It was like the most improbable win. Like just throw it out of bounds and get the number one pick, Texans. Come on.
And Lovey was still like fighting for his head coaching life, right? He had not been fired yet.
But you knew he was going to be.
You knew he was going to be fired.
So you
should have just removed him. You should have fired exactly. Like never let him in the locker room. Put some stand-in in there that's going to like pretend to be coaching but obviously be trying to lose. Lovey Smith was trying to win, and he did. And we thank him for it.
But on the Illinois football front, there's absolutely no question that the players that have allowed Illinois to, obviously last year's 8-win season, I know the disappointment of this season has dampened things a little bit, but the top players that Brett Bielema and the staff have worked with so far have all been Lovey Smith leftovers. Now there's something to be said for getting the most out of those guys and putting 100%. Those guys in positions to succeed,
100%.
Especially the defensive backs, how they develop those guys. But in terms of identifying and bringing the talent to Champaign, turns out in hindsight, Lovey Smith and his staff pretty darn good at that. Pretty darn good at identifying talent and getting it to Champaign, even though the big story around him, and it was absolutely correct in terms of the effort that he put in on the recruiting trail, that was one of his biggest downfalls. But in terms of some of the guys he did bring in here, a lot of them have worked out. I know maybe the last couple classes, 2020 on his way out, weren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those early classes have really paid dividends for Illinois here recently. And you can't ignore it. You can't ignore the talent that he was able to bring here to Champaign and the talent that he was able to bring to the Chicago Bears by winning that football game.
I love it. And, yeah, on the note of the results, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but on the Bears point, too, did you see kind of the story coming out this morning about the Panthers and some of the comments that they made about how they actually originally thought that they were going to trade up to number 2? So maybe you got the Panthers front office to thank as well for DJ Moore, because the story was,
wasn't that Frank Reich wanting CJ Stroud?
He wanted CJ Stroud, and they were talking, they were deep in talks with the Texans at number 2 to trade up to number 2. Instead, fell through. Everyone just said the David Tepper, the owner, and some other people in the front office wanted Bryce Young, so they figured they had to go up to trade up to number 1 to get him.
Thank you to the Carolina Panthers. And I do give Ryan Poles some credit, too. You got to be able to make the deal with the right team. Because if you make that deal, say, what if you made it with Houston? Say Houston was willing to take Stroud number 1, although why they would move up from number 2 to number 1. It's besides the point. But if you were to trade with Houston and they got CJ Stroud at that pick, and then they're as good as they are this year, obviously your pick in this upcoming year's draft is a lot different than if you have the Carolina Panthers pick this year. So I give Ryan Poles some credit for making that trade with the right team, because, of course, you can make it with the wrong team. Like, I think in baseball, you don't want to trade with the Tampa Bay Rays, although I want to talk some hot stove with you before we get out of here. Maybe someone, I think they will, trade with the Tampa Bay Rays for a very talented, often injured starting pitcher. I would like to see my team, that being the St. Louis Cardinals, do it. And your team, Kyle, the Chicago Cubs, have been reported to be involved with that as well. So we'll talk about that later in the show. We're also going to be joined by Luke Goody here coming up in about 10 minutes on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Going to be excited to catch up with him. And then let's talk more and more. I mean, we're in this little bit of a lull this week. Really the calm before the storm as the Illinois basketball schedule ramps up to another level. Of course, it was at a high point against Marquette, a really, really good team, and a game on your home floor that was close and fun, and you were able to learn some stuff about yourselves in that one. But now you're going to have it stacked up to where the Big Ten opener at Rutgers, the Jimmy V Classic against FAU, and then at Tennessee, all within a week span, essentially. So I want to talk more and more about that as we go along. To circle it back real quick, Lovie Smith, of course. I mean, this isn't breaking news to anybody, but in his, what was it, five seasons at Illinois, 3 wins, 2 wins, 4 wins, 6 wins, 2 wins. So the results on the field, I think there was still a sense of, you didn't get the sense of he had a lot of investment. And it's all from the outside, but just there was enough of a sample size, I felt like, that he wasn't a grind it out on the recruiting trail type of guy. He was more of a sit back, a laissez-faire, just a calm demeanor. I think Brett's got more of a personality. I mean, anybody that talked to any high school coach, especially those at the programs that really, really produce Big Ten level talent within the state of Illinois, what the difference is between Lovie Smith's involvement or even his staff on a whole versus Brett Bielema and his staff on a whole. So there was a growing narrative, and for good reason, for Lovie Smith to be out and also to not have the results that we all hoped for. But I think in hindsight, like them being able to discover Devin Witherspoon, who was a zero-star recruit, obviously was a huge deal. Am I saying, you make a good point earlier that, like, hey, getting with Ryan Walters, getting with Brett Bielema, Aaron Henry, those guys that helped develop him and get the most out of him, there's a lot to be said for that. I think Johnny Newton would probably tell you too, like being able to be coached by these guys have helped him be the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, a 2B first-round draft pick, maybe as high as in the top 10. But on down the line, like I think the circumstances are interesting in terms of Isaiah showing up here. Like if this was Brett Bielema and you're running the Brett Bielema offense, Isaiah Williams isn't coming here to play quarterback. He wanted to play quarterback. He doesn't fit the style. He's not playing quarterback at Illinois and then obviously transitioning into wide receiver. So it worked out to where Rod Smith is selling this, you know, Khalil Tate. That's what his name was, right, at Arizona? Was it Khalil Tate?
I think so.
That spread offense, that he could be that guy. And then he becomes the wide receiver that leads the Big Ten in reception. So the short answer is I'm still saying thank you to Lovie. I'm obviously still holding true and strong to what I've also said about his tenure here at Illinois, but I do think that the talent is obviously is there. And I want to get your thoughts on Johnny Newton winning Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. What do you think about that news? I know he wasn't, and he had a tweet today about not being named as a finalist for the – forgive me for not knowing the award off the top of my head, but it's for the top – offensive and defensive linemen in the country. He was not listed as a finalist for that, and he kind of had a funny gif that he sent out on Twitter in terms of his response, shock, and displeasure with that. But he was named the Defensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten, and I think obviously very deserving.
Outland Trophy.
Outland, yeah.
There are three finalists, and Johnny Newton's not one of them. I'm biased, but I think that I think he is one of the top three interior offensive and defensive linemen in the country. He was dominant. And I do want to say I am so glad that he won Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, because I thought it was going to be one of those classic situations where, 5-7 team, there's no way that Johnny Newton could be the Defensive Player of the Year. They won five games. Well, that's ridiculous, because he was dominant all season and he did everything he could. He was the reason that Illinois' defense got any stops during the season with the pressure he created and the havoc that he created in every single game, the consistency that he had of just being a game wrecker on the defensive line, beating double teams. He had career high in sacks. I believe he led all interior defensive linemen and pressures in the country again. He was phenomenal. It would have been really easy to say, hey, Cooper DeJean on that 10-win Iowa team, we'll give it to him. Pick any Michigan defensive player, give it to them. But Johnny Newton was the best defensive player, the most impactful, dominant force of a defensive player in the Big Ten this year. And I can say that with confidence, not with my orange and blue tinted glasses on. I believe a lot of people would agree with that when they really dive into the tape and the numbers. He was fantastic, and it's a well-deserved award for him that I was a little nervous he might get snubbed, but I'm very glad he wasn't.
He is the first Illini to earn Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year since Dana Howard won it back-to-back years in 1993 and 1994. He was also named the Defensive Lineman of the Year and an All-Big Ten first-teamer for the second straight season in the Big Ten. Pulling from Illini Inquirer's article here, some of the stats. He had 9 quarterback hurries 8.5 tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks, tied for second most among Big Ten players, while also leading all Power 5 defensive linemen, like you said, in pressures with 44 and snaps with nearly 750. He's a projected first-round pick.
I think he did that last year, too, in terms of pressures. That's 2 years in a row. Just
unbelievable.
Phenomenal stuff. He's one of the best defensive players in Illinois history. He's got to be. I know there's been some good ones, yes, but he's one of the best.
I agree with that. I mean, as far as my lifetime watching it, there's no doubt about it. I know that early 90s and obviously back, you go all the way back to Dick Butkus. But, yeah, I mean, there is a very short list of guys drafted that high as far as he's supposed to go in the NFL draft and the type of season that he had. And I think Jay makes a great point. Like, I saw it more, noticed it more after Jay talked about it. Like, his ability to turn the corner,
yeah,
as a big defensive tackle who can – obviously play at end or play in some of those stunts or games, but to come around that edge as that big of a guy and just wreck, it was
chase quarterbacks down. Guys couldn't outrun him.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it is insane, and I can't wait to watch him in the NFL next year. I think he's going to be a heck of an NFL player.
Not to end on a low note, but is it not depressing that you had the defensive player of the year.
I was just about to say.
You gave up 30 points a game.
It is very, very frustrating that you had the 12th best defense in the Big Ten scoring-wise with the defensive player of the year. I think 13th yards-wise. That is very depressing, and I wish that he had some help. At least he did last year. He can say he was part of the number one scoring defense in the nation, mm-hmm, which he was a massive part of in 2022, but missed opportunity this year with that guy on your defensive front.
Stings for sure. It definitely stings. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Online Link text line. Like we mentioned earlier, we've got Luke Goody coming up on the Tapman's Towing phone line. He's going to join us. If you got any questions for Luke, let us know. 217-359-2255. Hit us up. We'll talk some more basketball on the other side of Luke and then also some MLB hot stove before we get out of here. But Luke Goody, Illini sharpshooter, talking about the win against Western on Friday and then what's coming up next for the Illini basketball team with a big slate: Rutgers, FAU, and Tennessee. We'll dive into that with Luke Goody on the other side. This is The Drive.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Are you one of those guys out there tinting windows day in and day out, all different shades of black, and ready to put a little color in your life? Come work for us. At Aftershock, we're looking for a guy with experience in wrapping, whether it be window tinting, vinyl wrapping, anything of that sort, or somebody with just ambition that wants to show up to work and be proud of what they do. You know those wraps with Troy Lands on the back waving at you? That's our work. Call us, 833-DECAL-IT, or email office@aftershockdd.com. We want you.
Don't miss your chance to cheer on Fighting Illini basketball this season.
Deafening in here, 15,000, another shutout.
We need all of Illini Nation to help us defend State Farm Center.
And Illinois overcomes their largest deficit of the season.
Great seat locations are still available for you to see Illinois basketball live this season.
The Illini win it!
Get your tickets today at FightingIllini.com.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
ILLINI. Cheer on the Illini at Pia's. The pregame fun starts at Pia's Sports Bar and Grill. Pia's serves up its famous 10-ounce Slugger Burger along with great wings and so much more. Enjoy 350 22-ounce light and Coors Light drafts every home and away Illini game. Watch the game at Pia's or ride the free shuttle to all home games. You'll find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. See you at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Make this holiday season truly magical. See Champaign-Urbana Ballet's The Nutcracker, November 30th through December 3rd. Presented in partnership with Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, Area-Wide Technologies, Bill Bass Foundation, Stone Ridge Dairy, Two Men in a Truck, and Champaign Ballet Academy. Tickets at the Krannert Center box office or CUBallet.com. Experience the unforgettable story, music, and magic of CU Ballet's The Nutcracker.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We're going to go to the Tapman's Towing phone line, be joined by Luke Goody, Illini sharpshooter. Got to tell you first, though, the sponsors that make this thing happen: Max Twin City Recycling, Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, First Federal Savings Bank, Crossroads Contractor Supply, Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance, and by Carpenters Local 243. Joining us now on the Tapman's Towing phone line, Luke Goody, duck hunter by day, sharpshooter by night. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing great. How was the Thanksgiving?
It was nice. They had us at the country club for a nice little Thanksgiving meal. We didn't get to go home because we had our game Friday, but it was good to be with the team. You know, good little break here, and we'll be back at it.
Did you feel like Fletch was looking over your shoulder whenever you, like, passed through the buffet line, or how many – were you guys allowed to have any pie? Like, how's that go when you're a day before a game and it's Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's actually nice because now that we're in season, we can pretty much eat whatever we want since we're going so hard in practice and we're doing so much stuff. It's one of those things, like, you know, don't eat crazy, but you can definitely not be as strict as we were in the offseason. So that's been really nice. So my favorite dessert was pumpkin pie. I had a couple slices of that, which was nice.
There you go. Well, it hasn't obviously slowed you down. It didn't on Friday night. You made three threes. You've hit at least three, and I believe four straight games. So you have it rolling. I was going to tell you, I went to the Big Ten basketball site and pulled up the stats, and three-point percentage leaders, your name's up there top of the charts at 46%. How's that sound to you?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, obviously there's still work to be done. You know, we're getting into conference play now, and better teams, you know, we'll be playing on the road. So we've been able to play all the games at home. So now I just got to prove it on the road.
What'd you take away from the game against Western? It seemed like one where you guys are pretty good at both ends of the floor. Didn't have to sweat that one in terms of a slow start or any lulls. How did you look at that in terms of that performance?
Yeah, I felt like it was good. You know, they're a really good rebounding, offensive rebounding, defensive rebounding team. They're big as a really good offensive rebounder. Their wings are too, and that's something that we're going to see with Rutgers. Cliff is super athletic big man, played in the league for a while, and he's definitely developed his reputation as a big-time athlete and rebounder. So that was kind of a get-right tune-up game. I thought we did a great job in the half court on offense and defense, executed really well, and able to come away with the win.
On the note of rebounding, you get 15 of them from Quincy Guerrier. He's already got a couple double-doubles early this season. what have you seen in terms of what he's adding and what he can be going forward for you guys?
Yeah, you know, Quincy's obviously been struggling with his shot, but he comes into practice and he knocks down shots, works on his game every day, and he's been doing a good job in practice, and that's just a testament to him. You know, some guys, when they don't hit shots and aren't producing well on the offensive end, they don't like to play defense and do the little things, but for him to get 15 rebounds, I think he's the leading rebounder on our team right now. It's just a testament to him as a player.
16 points, 8 rebounds for Dane Danger. He's had a step up with Coleman Hawkins being out with the knee issue. How have you seen Dane respond from that? And obviously, you guys will hope to get Coleman back here coming up, though.
Yeah, Dane's been great. He's done nothing but come in and prove what he's been able to do since Coleman's been out. Came in and given us big minutes. You know, I feel like he had a great game against Western Illinois. Really rebounded the ball well and, you know, made his layups and stuff like that. And, you know, it's going to be good going into Big Ten season. He'll be able to get his confidence back and, you know, be ready to come in and impact games.
Lou Goody joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Rutgers on the road coming up. You guys play your next three away from home. Are you excited to go see a new place? I know the Rack's maybe not one you get excited for because it's a tough place to play, but what do you think about the opportunity that's coming up next?
Yeah, we're excited. I didn't play in the Rack last year, but I did freshman year, and it's wild. I'm not going to lie. So we're excited to go there. It's going to be our first, you know, real road test, and we prepared for it this week in practice, I'll tell you that. So it's been a really good week so far, and we're ready to go. We're excited to go play in an environment like that and keep it up.
You mentioned Cliff Amore earlier on. What else do you expect out of Rutgers? It seems like each and every year they're really physical, gritty, hard-nosed team. Looking at their defensive rating, I mean, you guys are 10th in the country on KenPom. They're 11th, so obviously that's something that they hang their hat on as well.
Yeah, I mean, they guard. That's really what it is. They sit down and defend and can guard at a high level. So it's a different Rutgers team than we've seen before. You know, they've had Paul Mulcahy as their point guard the last 2-3 years, and he's a very he's a slower point guard, brings the ball, kind of walks the ball down the court. And this year they're running. They got a bunch of quick guards. You know, smaller guards than last time, but it's a different Rutgers team. So they like to run up and down the floor, and they got some shooters that can space the floor, and we just got to be ready for it.
Does it feel like it should be Big Ten play yet? I know it's always there's one or two sandwiched in there in the non-con, but starting conference play now, I know it's nothing new. It's something that the league's been doing for a handful of years now, but how do you guys look at that?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It is kind of wild to be playing conference basketball already, but it's nice to have a game that means so much so early in the season. So we've been playing these teams, you know, that we've not had much trouble with, and then we played Marquette at home, but outside of that we really haven't had too great of a test. So being able to go on the road and play a Big Ten game this early in the season is going to teach us a lot about our team, you know, how we deal with adversity, how we come together as a team on the road and handle situations like that. So I'm excited just to see how our team responds to that stuff.
What do you feel like as you gear up for the Big Ten opener and obviously the games that follow that, what you need to focus on in practice this week? Has there been a specific emphasis that you've been trying to work on and get better at before you go on the road and go out east this week?
Yeah, it's just continuing to just build upon what we've been doing. Rebounding is a huge thing. Being able to stop Cliff from, you know, having a 12-15 rebound game. So we're going out there and making sure all of our stuff is ready to go. Building on our offense, I think, is a big thing this week as well. I'm just putting in stuff that goes against their defensive schemes and stuff like that. So just doing all that.
I know you mentioned that last week going into the Western game that we might start to see some of the different wrinkles that you guys are working on offensively. Was there much of that that you tried against Western, or are you kind of sprinkling it in as you go? How have you been approaching that in terms of a team? Obviously, you're not calling the plays, but how has that played out from what you've seen?
Yeah, it's I definitely have gotten – I mean, I saw 8 shots against Western Illinois, so anytime you get up 8 shots, you know, there's definitely some things that are – changed in terms of getting the ball to the guys. You know, I feel like some more things that we've been putting in that we've been doing will show, you know, as we go along. Definitely different teams and setups than what we've had, but you know, I'm just going to continue to, you know, playing in the system, and I think all the other guys are really confident in the system, and you know, it's been working well for us, so we just got to keep executing and make free throws.
We had a text on the U of I Atlanta League text line from Wade. He says, on inbounds plays, is there a written rule on how far the defender must stand away from the offensive player, or is that up to the referee to decide?
That's a good question. So you can't cross the line at all. You can't have anybody part touch the line. I think if you cross the line and touch the ball or something like that, it's a tech. So I think it's, I don't know, it's just kind of an unwritten rule of basketball. You just got to give them space, really.
I know that you guys are taking it one game at a time, as always, but I do want to ask you, because I don't know if we'll catch up with you before the Jimmy V Classic, a game at Madison Square Garden, one you didn't get to participate in last year. How exciting is that, the idea that you'll get to play at the Garden this time around, and just also knowing, you know, that Jimmy V's one of those premier spotlight opportunities in the non-conference each and every year?
Yeah, I can't wait. It was pretty cool to watch it last year. Obviously, I wish I was playing in it, but unfortunately, you know, I was still injured. But I'm excited to go out there and experience actually playing on the court. When you walk in MSG, it's surreal. You kind of get a sense of feeling of just a legacy of basketball almost. So you walk out there and see all the banners in the rafters, all the banners of the performers that have performed there, and it's pretty cool. It's a surreal moment. So I'm excited to just go out there and play. Especially for a good cause. I think it's a cancer research, you know, Jimmy V cancer research. So it's always good to play for a cause like that and go out there and compete at a high level against a good team.
Did you enjoy or get an opportunity to sit back and watch? You know, you guys had pretty much a week off before Western and some time since then. A lot of cool games in terms of like the Maui and all of those around college basketball. Maybe you dove in on some football on Thursday. What have you been able to take in and consume here in some of the downtime?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of basketball. You know, I've said this a bunch of times on the phone, but when you grow up playing against people, it's fun to watch them play. You know, you grow up playing against them in AAU, and you kind of follow their careers all the way through and know who guys are and know where they're playing. So I've been watching guys like that. And then college football, unfortunately, watched Illinois lose to Northwestern and end their season, which wasn't the best, but they had a pretty good season, and you know, just I'm excited for this weekend for sure to watch some college football, watch the championship game. So that'll be fun to watch.
Good stuff as always, Luke Goody. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you out on the East Coast here, obviously coming up here soon, and look forward to that game at the Rack, and then obviously Madison Square Garden. So thanks again for your time as always, and good luck coming up this weekend.
Sweet, sounds good. Appreciate it.
Luke Goody on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Once again, that brought to you by Max Twin City Recycling, Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend, First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted, Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it, Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance, visit brianismyguy.com, and by Carpenters Local 243. Good stuff from Luke Goody there coming up. What have you made, Kyle? I know that I pitched this stat to him and to you as well. I'll do it to you as well. If I pull up the Big Ten statistical leaders so far, the top two names in three-point percentage. Now, there is a baseline in terms of attempts. There are some guys that are shooting a little bit of a higher clip, but not as many attempts so far. But Luke Goody, number one, 46% from three. Terrence Shannon, number two, 44% from three. Braden Smith's a guy that has 18 attempts. He's shooting 50%. Cam Christie on Minnesota also shooting 50%, I think 20 attempts. But guys that have shot a little bit of a higher volume, Luke, 37 attempts, Shannon, 41. To be the top two in the league so far, that's nice to have, although the counter to that, or the other side of the coin of that, is that players other than those two really have not shot the three well this year.
Yeah, well, I will tell you that if Terrence Shannon shoots 44% from three, I think Illinois is going to have a pretty good season. I would sign up for that right now. But I will say that the way Luke Goody has shot the ball so far this year has been huge for this team. It really has. I mean, you saw it in the Marquette game how big the shots that he made were. It's hard to call any of the, you know, performances he's put up in these bye games like game changing, you know, because I don't think it really impacted the game. But it's just great.
Oh, they
to
needed
see
one
him.
Against Valpo, right?
That's true. That's true. It's great to see him just be in a rhythm early and coming off a year that was so rocky for him with the injury last year, and he didn't get to play as much as he wanted coming back from that. It felt like he had a tough time just kind of re-implementing himself after he did come back midway through the season. Now having this full off season, being a big part of the rotation from day one, it's been awesome to see him really shoot it well consistently to start the season. And I love the fact that he's consistently getting up 7-8 shots every game. Like, I think that's huge for this team. If he gives you 15-20 minutes off the bench, I want him taking 7-8 threes. And if he can make them at a 40-plus percent clip, it's just huge for this offense, and one that I think is going to have its struggles at times this year. But one way to overcome some of those struggles is guys just come in and make shots for you and give you an offensive spark. I think that's what Luke can be for this team.
They need it. They need it big time. And I know that, you know, I've said it before. I think it's fair to say he's established himself as a pure knockdown shooter. Like, we wondered if Illinois would have any of those guys this year. It was fair to question whether they went and got any of those in the portal, which Marcus Damask was a good shooter, a guy in that 35% range on his career, 35, 36. And we wondered, maybe now with some of the spotlight taken off of him, would he be more of an effective spot-up guy? Although, honestly, with Illinois' point guard issues, sometimes Damask has been playing with the ball in his hands, so maybe that's taken away some of that potential. But he shot 24% from three. Guerrier with the wrist has hurt him. He's 1-for-18 from three so far. On down the list, you look at Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn, 3-for-16, Harmon, 2-for-7, Coleman, 1-for-7. It's really been Terrence and Luke, and Luke at 50 or 46%. I mean, man, he could get to 50%, which is crazy to even say. He is a very important spark, and when you pair him with Shannon, even if Shannon is going to be someone that, as of right now, he's taking more threes than twos. I don't know if that sustains itself. I doubt it as the year goes on. But when Terrence is trying to go to the lane, having someone like Luke, especially in that strong side corner, that same corner, maybe he's driving down the right side and Luke's in that corner, that puts the defender, Luke's defender, really in a bind. I'm supposed to go help, but maybe I can't with Luke. That we've seen a lot through the years. Last year was a great example. Illinois didn't make those shots, those kick-out threes at the corner that RJ had a million of, and Illinois had some other guys that just didn't make those shots. Luke is someone that you leave him open, I fully expect him, you know, every one that comes off his hand that should go in. It's a very smooth release. And one thing I'll say, not to pick on the Hoosiers too much, but like one of the, like, I know that people wondered him coming out of Indiana, you know, why does he not have an offer from Indiana? Why does he not have an offer from Purdue? Well, one thing I had heard is Indiana was like, I didn't talk to them personally, but people that talked to the Hoosiers program was like, yeah, you know, he's a shooter, but is he really like a dead eye shooter? Like, he shoots threes, but is he a great 3-point shooter? And they questioned that. Obviously, number one, Indiana is a terrible 3-point shooting team.
Indiana would absolutely love to have Luke Goody on their current roster.
There's some irony in that because Indiana right now is a horrendous 3-point
shooting
team.
They're one of the
worst
I've ever seen. Yeah. It's awful. I think their most they've even taken this year is like 13, and the most they've made in a game is 4, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think I saw that on someone quoted that on Twitter and said, Indiana ties, I think it was against Harvard, ties a season high with 4 main threes, which is crazy. Yeah, I mean,
now their front court's good, but if you're not even taking threes, I just don't know how you win nowadays.
And apparently KenPom hates that. KenPom hates,
I hate it.
KenPom hates them. Like, they are 5-1. They're 75th on KenPom. Their projected record right now, we've mentioned this a few times, is 16-15, 8-12 in the league.
Is more than I don't know if I'd get to 8 right now. I haven't watched them.
They're shooting 24% from three, and only 25% of their shots are from beyond the arc. Yes, so here's their threes in a game that they've made: 4-4, 3-3, 1-4. That's incredible. I think they could use a Luke Goody.
They could.
It's a bad evaluation. Miller, right? That'd be Archie Miller.
Yeah, it would, because this is Woodson's third year. That was Archie.
Bad move, Archie.
Yeah.
Hope he learned his lesson at Rhode Island now.
Is that where he's at?
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
Yeah, he's at Rhode Island. Lindy asked about inbound passes. I didn't want to ask Luke this. I didn't want to ask him to give, you know, the playbook in terms of inbound passes. Yes, it does look like a lot of the inbounds this year so far have been a lob to the high post. Big man. And Marquette, even
you talk about baseline out of bounds.
Baseline out of bounds. Like, spot up the big. Like, it was Coleman against Marquette that was vivid in my mind that Shaka was yelling, "Oso, go get it." Like, they're going to lob it over, try to lob it over your head to Coleman, and it really wasn't some kind of, it wasn't at all a dynamic screen away, you know, deception type of inbounds play. It was really just, hey, we're going to lob it up to the five. And I know people have griped about that. I'm not saying that's the only one in their bag. I just didn't want to ask Luke, hey, what all do you guys have in terms of inbounds plays?
I don't think he would have shared.
Yeah, so.
I don't think anyone from Rutgers listens to this radio show, but, you know, if they do, we can't be divulging that information.
You don't think they have a Connor Stallions that's checking in on Illinois right now?
They might need it. Their current team might need it. Although they're still pretty good defensive team. I'm sure we'll talk about this matchup later in the week, but they're still that same Steve Peichel. Like, it's gonna, Illinois is going to be in the 50s or 60s and have to win that game. It's going to be annoying. It's not going to be easy, even though I don't think this is a very good Rutgers team. It's just, I'm not going into Saturday expecting it to be at all easy. It's going to be a really ugly Rutgers basketball game.
Let's dive into that a little bit more, maybe on the other side of this break. I do, as the week goes on, want to get more and more nitty-gritty on the Illinois-Rutgers matchup and just kind of the overview of what this stretch really is, what we think of Florida Atlantic, what we think of Tennessee, and obviously the Scarlet Knights as well. So maybe, how about on the other side of this break, let's dive in a little bit more on Rutgers, talk more hoops as we go along, and then some MLB hot stove before we get out of here. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta League text line. This is The Drive.
Here's what new customers are saying about Interstate Battery.
It's nice to see capable and helpful associates. They did a top-notch job.
They were easy to talk to and explained everything.
Service was prompt and I was a walk-in. Total service time was only like 20 minutes. I highly recommend Interstate Batteries.
Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. How much is dependable worth? Experience them for the first time at 2504 North Mattis. Way out there, but worth the drive. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Visit InterstateBatteries.com.
ILLINI. Cheer on the Illini at Pia's. The pregame fun starts at Pia's Sports Bar and Grill. Pia's serves up its famous 10-ounce Slugger Burger along with great wings and so much more. Enjoy 350 22-ounce light and course light drafts every home and away Illini game. Watch the game at Pia's or ride the free shuttle to all home games. You'll find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. See you at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Don't miss your chance to cheer on Fighting Illini basketball this season.
Deafening in here, 15,000, another shutout.
We need all of Illini Nation to help us defend State Farm Center.
And Illinois overcomes their largest deficit of the season.
Great seat locations are still available for you to see Illinois basketball live this season.
The Illini win it!
Get your tickets today at FightingIllini.com.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com.
Two Men and a Truck.
Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." What a comfort we have in this passage, as the Lord is telling Jeremiah, "I care for you and will take care of you." If you are in despair and think you have no hope, pray to the Lord for guidance. See how your life can be changed and the lives of those around you. This message brought to you by the Blossom Basket Florist.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Illini fans, taste what's special about Jet's Pizza by ordering any of their specialty pizzas for $5 off. That's right, save $5 on all specialty pizzas like the barbecue chicken pizza, chicken grilled to perfection, premium mozzarella cheese, bacon, red onion, and BBQ sauce. All piled onto Jet's amazing crust made from dough they make fresh every day. There's also their super special all-meaty chicken bacon ranch and more, all $5 off. Make your day special and order a Jet's specialty pizza for $5 off.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, Lindy asked a good question on the U of I Line Link text line. Should we give up 60 points to Rutgers? Kyle, what say you?
No, but will Illinois score 60 on Rutgers is another question that needs to be asked, I think.
If there was going to be a Illinois versus Penn State reincarnated from way back in the day, I can say that now, I guess, where it was in the 40s, that was there in Champaign, Illinois, Penn State. Kyle's probably too young for that, but you've probably heard war stories from that one. If this was to be a game, like a race to 50 points, I wouldn't be surprised if it's this one. Rutgers, number 11 in the country in defensive efficiency. Illinois, number 10. Diving into some other Rutgers stats, they're fourth in the country in turnover rate on defense. They turn people over at a pretty high rate. They're number 2 in the country in two-point field goal defense. Top 10 in block rate. And you mentioned there was somebody that posted on Twitter today that they're the number 1 rim defense in the country. So if you go to the rack and you don't make threes, you could have a really, really tough night scoring. Now, they will have a tough night scoring because other than Cliff Amore, they don't have a whole lot of offensive talent. They don't shoot the three well. They shoot 29% from three so far. They're horrible at free throws too, 65%. That's 300th in the country. Illinois is worse than that. They're in like the 330s or 340s at this point. But it could be a very ugly basketball game. Rutgers did lose in their opener to Princeton, 68-61. They've won 5 straight since then but haven't really beat anybody. Boston U, Bryant, Georgetown, Howard, and St. Peter's. They just beat St. Peter's 71-40. So they can hold people down. Illinois defensively can do so as well. One of the questions that I'm asking beyond the Illinois-Rutgers game, Illinois, I'm roping this in with these three-game trip, Rutgers, FAU, and Tennessee. Is Illinois' defense truly elite? Like, on paper, they look like it right now. Number 10, again, adjusted defensive efficiency. Brad Underwood would say, you know, this team has a load of potential. I've heard other guys say, you know, maybe this is the best defensive team Illinois had during Underwood's tenure. What do you think about that, Kyle? And do you think we can learn that over these next three games, whether it's yes or no?
I think we can learn it. I don't know how much I believe it at this point. I think it's a very good defensive team, and I think the defensive potential of this roster as a whole is very high, but they've played 5 teams that you wouldn't consider offensive juggernauts in college basketball.
Correct. And although Oakland just beat Xavier last night.
They did. They did. And that, I will say, that was a very impressive defensive performance in the second half of that game. Like, truly, even though it was against Oakland, that looks like a decent Oakland team, and they were dominant on the defensive end. But they play Marquette. I thought they were fine defensively. Like, honestly, holding Marquette to 71, that's one of the best offenses. That's not a terrible result. But I did think with what Tyler Kolek did to them and how easy things look for them, a lot of that's a matter of he's an outstanding basketball player. But I don't know if that necessarily screamed this is one of the best defensive teams in the country to me. I'd need to see it against a Tennessee, although that's not maybe the best offensive top 10 team there is out there. But, you know, Florida State has scored the last couple games here, have put up some high totals. Florida Atlantic,
FAU, yep.
That's what I meant to say. So I think we will learn it here, but I would like to see more than what we've seen so far to come out and say that definitively.
I'm siding with you. I don't get to catch a break. I think that they're more likely very good on defense than instead of elite. We can dive into that more on the other side of this break. What say you on the U of I Atlanta League text line? 217-359-2255. Is this Illinois defense, how good are they? Are they one of the best in the country? Or do you think that maybe they still need to show more? Or are you willing to say right now that they maybe are not. Give your reasoning, give your take on the text line. Hit us up. We got to catch a break. On the other side, we'll talk that. We'll talk MLB Hot Stove before we get out of here. This is The Drive.